All right, we are holding on Tzadkala from Aleph, about a third of the way down the oven. As a tasty idea. We learned in the Mishnah, we're still in the middle of discussing the various consequences and penalties that there are for a woman who got married al pi eidecha. The one aide came and said that her husband died. Hasten gave her permission on that basis to remarry, but we said a few times already, Isha Daiko Mintzvah, a woman is expected to be more cautious before just relying on one aid and jumping into getting married again, and therefore there's these various consequences. Ah, so what the responsibility of Hasten we'll get to actually later on. What, how exactly?
Right?
What? No, you need. Without any adim at all, then no, based on is not going to allow. How would they allow her to? You need some kind.
She's in America. She comes, she said,
maybe. I don't know what. At the end of the sefer, it's going to talk more about this topic. I think you need some kind of raya.
No, if she doesn't know,
yeah,
definitely.
Okay.
If she knows,
okay. Yeah. Anyway, so the Mishnah had listed a whole bunch of different consequences, and then it mentioned machlokes tanoim. We had that Rabbi Yossi had said that she doesn't lose her ksuba, her first husband still owes her ksuba. We had Rabbi Lazar said that her first husband, which is her real husband, is entitled to anything she finds and to her maisi adeha, to anything that she makes, and he can still cancel her nedarim. And we had Rabbi Shimon said that if she does yibum or chalitza with the brother, with one of the brothers of her first husband after he dies, then that'll pater her tzara. That will consider her to be kosher for yibum to that extent. We won't allow her to do chalitza yibum herself, we will allow her to do chalitza yibum herself, and therefore that's good enough to pater her tzara. So three different tanoim saying three different things. The first thing the Gemara is going to discuss over here is do any of them agree with each other? Is it that each of them is saying one thing and everybody else disagrees with each of these things, or maybe all some of them add into the others? So Amar Rav Huna, Basroi Moidu L'Kamoi. The later opinions agree with the earlier ones. So we have Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Elazar agrees with what Rabbi Yossi said about the Ksuba and adds something else that he's entitled to Mitziyasa and so forth. And Rav Shimon agrees with both of them and adds also about the Yibum and Chalitza issue. But the other way around, Kamoy Lemoydul Basroi. But the earlier ones, Rav Yossi does not agree with Rav Elazar, and Rav Elazar doesn't agree with Rav Shimon. And Rav Yossi doesn't agree with Rav Shimon either. Namely, Rav Shimon Moydul Rav Elazar. Rav Shimon agrees with Rav Elazar that Rav Elazar had said that the husband, that her real husband is entitled to her Mitziah and Maisiyah Deha. And Rav Shimon is adding to that about the Yibum. Why? The Ma Bia to Ikari Sura. If when it comes to Bia, which is the main Isser, the main thing that we should say, that we would want to say that this woman is Osir is because of, well, she's because of Bia, because she had Bia with somebody else, and therefore we would Osir her in Yibum on the basis of that, the Ikari Sura. And yet, like Komis, Rav Shimon says we do not cancel her, we allow her to do Chalitza or Yibum. So how much more so he would say that her husband is entitled to a mitzio or mitzio there, which is only financial matters. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar led modulator of Rabbi Shimon, whereas Rabbi Elazar does not agree with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar would say mitziyasa and mitzio there, yes, but you will know, because he would say the other way around. Mitziyasa mitzio there di suruhu. Those things are mammon, therefore there's no reason to make penalties on those. I will be a di surahu, but the bia, where that's the main isser is supposed to be on bia for her, therefore kanis, so he would say that we penalize her by preventing her from doing chalitza, by preventing her from doing yibum. The Tavayu Modulay the Rabbi Yossi. Furthermore, both of them would agree with Rabbi Yossi because they would argue Handi Diyas Vatusei Leikonis. If we're saying that we don't penalize her or him for that matter with something that where she's actually still married to him, what are we saying? The Tziyasa and Maisiyadeh are things that take place while she's still married. Now, yesterday we had brought up the Svara that we don't want him to have those things because we want there to be Ava between them. We want them to be friction between them. So that he'll divorce her. But if Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are saying that we both agree that he is entitled to Mitziyasa and Maisiyadeh, which are things that, that take place while she's still living with him, loikonis, and they don't penalize them and take those away. Then how much more so she'd be entitled to a ksuba, which the whole point is the ksuba is only paid out when the marriage is over, when she's leaving the marriage, when she's being divorced. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi would not agree with them because he would say, on the contrary, that's exactly it. Ksuba de la mishkal made for kud leikonis. I will allow her to take her ksuba because she's anyway only taking it when she's leaving. But the other things, the yasa and maisi and so forth, which involve her actually remaining in the marriage, that Rabbi Yossi would say, we don't want to allow her because we want to create friction between them so that they'll get divorced. So that's Rabbi Huna's understanding of it. That whatever Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Elazar also and Rabbi Shimon also agree with, and whatever Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Shimon agrees with, but not the other way around. Rabbi Yochanan says the other way around. On the contrary, the earlier opinions in the Mishnah agree with the later ones, but not vice versa. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's the other way around. Rabbi Yossi would agree to Rabbi Elazar's and Rabbi Shimon's dinim, but the reverse is not true. Namely, Rabbi Yossi modulay l'Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yossi, who is saying that she gets uksuba, would agree with Rabbi Elazar as well, that the husband is also that her first husband is also entitled to a mitzia and maitiya there, because he would say ksuba demididei lididol leikonis. We're saying that ksuba, which is something that comes from him to her, we don't take away from her. We don't penalize her and take it away from her. V'choshken mitziyoso maitiya der demididol lididei. Then how much more so he should be entitled to her mitzia and to her maitiya there, which is something that she has to give him. And there's more of a logical reason to punish her because she shouldn't have rushed into another marriage than to him. So if we're allowing her to get her ksuba, then Rabbi Yossi would have to agree with Rabbi Elazar. How much more so? He should be entitled to her mitzvah and so forth. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar loy modulay, whereas Rabbi Elazar, according to this way of looking at it, would not agree with Rabbi Yossi because he would say, fakev, that's exactly it. Ksuba, mitzvah, 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 mitzvah. It's true. I will say that we're not going to penalize the husband by taking away his wife's Nisiyah and Maisiyah there, because after all, it comes from her to him. But when it comes to the ksuba, which is something that he's supposed to be paying to her, and we want to penalize her for not being daiko mitzvah, for not checking the situation out carefully before remarrying, then that we would penalize her, says Rabbi Elazar. And continues Rabbi Yochanan, Tavayu Modulay L'Rab Shimon. Both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar would agree with Rabbi Shimon about the Yibum issue, because they would say, Umahani de Mechayim Lekansi, if these things, the Ksuba according to Rabbi Yossi, and Mtsiyasa and Maisiyah Deh according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi, which are things that take place while he's still alive, Lekansi, and we don't penalize her and take him away, or him, and take him away. And then how much more so we shouldn't penalize her by preventing her from doing Yibum, which is something that by definition only happens after her husband dies anyway. Whereas Reb Shimon would not agree with them, because he would argue that's just it. I won't penalize her by preventing Bia for Yibum because it's after his death anyway. But the Betzia and the Maisiyah Deh and the Ksuba, which all take place while he's alive, or the Ksuba can happen while he's alive if he divorces her, Kanis, then those are things he would say that we do penalize her. So two different ways of looking how the Tanoim and the Mishnah, what they do and don't agree with each other on. Then the Mishnah continued, Nisus Shalai Birshus V'chola. The Mishnah continued with the case, and Rashi says that this is specifically according to Reb Shimon, that if she married without Rishus HaBeistin, now what do we mean without Rishus HaBeistin means where you had two aides. Till now we've been talking about only one aide came. And one aide, you need special permission from Beistin to accept that one aide, to accept that one aide's aides, and for her to remarry. That's what we've been talking about all this time. And again, on Amud Beis, we're going to be talking about what Beistin's role and responsibility is in that. Now, when we talk about Nisus Shaloi Birshus, what we mean is two aidim came. two Adim, you don't even need permission from Beis Din. We know that all over. The two Adim is the best kind of proof that you can have for something al pi Torah. So therefore, the Mishnah had said, and Rashi says this is according to Reb Shimon, that if she had been married Shaloi Bershus, meaning based on two Adim, then she is allowed to return to her first husband. We say that even because in that case, we consider it more of an onus. More of an onus, or showing a card of onus, or whatever, that she remarried. She married the second husband, but because there were two Adim, because she had the right to rely on two Adim, because the Torah always allows that, then therefore we consider it, unlike the case of one Aid, where we say it should have been Isha Daiko Mintzvah, she should have checked out the situation more carefully, and therefore she bears a large degree of responsibility, here much less so. Now, we're going to talk about it on Amud Bey. The Gemara says it's actually not so simple. There's more opinions on that subject. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Hachi Hilchsa. So Rav Huna says, in the name of Rav, that indeed is Halacha. If she marries based on two Adim, then she's allowed to return to her first husband. Amar Rav Nachman, Ganuvi, Ganva, Ganuvi, Lomalach. So Rav Nachman tells him, what do you have to say it in like such a sneaky way, like a ganav? Say straight out, Yisvir Lach Kereb Shimon, Eim Halacha Kereb Shimon. If you hold that the Halacha is like Rav Shimon, then say instead of saying Hachi Hilchasa, which nobody's really sure what you mean. It sounds like you're trying to hide the fact that you want to go according to Reb Shimon against the Chachamim. Say it straight out. Ishmaita Reb Shimon calls, because after all, your Shmuel goes according to Reb Shimon. No, he's saying in the name of Rav. But the question is, the Noda Bihoda has a bit of a discussion about it in one of his Shuvos, that the question is not so much on Rav. The question is not so much on Rav, because we learned the other day actually that Rav had said that Rav had said in two different cases that Halacha is like Reb Shimon, and we said Chodem Kol Chavetar Hitmar, that he said one and we deduced the other one from it. So the question is more on Rav Huna, why he says Hachi Hilchasa, why he quotes Rav as saying Hachi Hilchasa instead of saying more explicitly the Halacha is like Reb Shimon. And he continues V'chitema, so Rav Nachman continues to him, if you might say, you know why I had to say it this way? If I were to say the halacha is like Reb Shimon, people would mistakenly think that it means even in the earlier part of the Mishnah, where we said that Reb Shimon said that she's allowed to do Yibum or Chalitza and Pater Hotzara. And I don't want to say that. I only want to imply the halacha is like Reb Shimon in the second thing about the case of two Eidim. Well, even so, you didn't have to say Hachi Hilchasa. You could have said Halema, you could have said halacha to Reb Shimon Bachrona. You could have said the halacha like Reb Shimon in the second case of the Mishnah. Akasha, why he said it that way. However, Amar Rav Sheshet, Amina, I say as follows. I don't agree that Rav ever said such a thing. If you want to say he said it, then I would say, Kinayim v'shochiv Rav, Amar l'hoshmaitza. That Rav, when did Rav say such a thing? When he was falling asleep. We've had this expression before. We had it earlier in the Masechta. The Chavis Yoreh has an interesting take on it. Rav Sheshet was one of Rav's talmidim. He's not saying it to be disrespectful to his Rebbe. Fakert, he's saying it's impossible that Rav could have made such an elementary mistake. When could it have been possible if he was like half asleep and then fell asleep and didn't realize that he had just said something that doesn't make any sense? Because if he was fully awake, he never would have said such a thing. Anyway, why? Because halacha meklal d'pligi. What are you saying? The halacha is like Reb Shimon. That implies that the Chachamim disagree with him. Why would they disagree? My Havel of Evan. What could she have done different? Mi enas ansa. She's effectively an honor. Two Adim came. We always believe two Adim. So of course she's perfectly entitled to get married. Why would the Chachamim even say why would the Chachamim say that she can't go back to her first husband, implying that she was somehow at fault? But and not only that, Tanya, we learn it at Braisa. In any case of a riot in the Torah, any case where man and woman who are erva one to the other, they're married. She doesn't need a get from him, because not even midrabanan, because nobody's going to think that it was a valid marriage on the Torah. Except for an ishish ish who was married based on permission from Beis Din, which is the case of the first half of our Mishnah, which is Eidachot. Which implies I'll be based in with the Baya Gita. Which implies only if it was based on the permission from based in, meaning one aid. Then you need the hudu bayigita. Then we say she needs a get, and that's when we have the whole scenario of the first half of our Mishnah where we said that then we apply all these kinds of penalties, including that she's not allowed to return to her first husband. Alpi edim le bayigita. On the other hand, the Braitha seems to imply that if she was married based on two edim, she doesn't need a get from her second husband, which automatically the Gemara is assuming at this point means that she's allowed to return to her first husband. Because those two things seem to be intertwined. When you say she needs a get from the second guy, that's when we would say we don't want people to think that the second one was really a valid marriage and now she's allowed to return to her first husband, which the Torah says is aser, so therefore we're not going to allow her to return. Implying if she doesn't need a get, then the whole thing is not an issue. No, of course the condition on Achal, because she was married to her first husband. But if we say that Medrabbanan, she needs a get, then that would be reason enough. Like we said the other day, that the Rabbanan would therefore say, because we are going to require her to need that get, and we need that because people might think that she really was divorced from her first husband and then married the second one, by the same token, also we're going to say we're going to ask her to return to her first husband for the same reason, because people are going to think that she was divorced from her first husband, married the second one, divorced him, and then is returning to her first husband, which the Torah says is also. But if she doesn't need a get from the second husband, then it's like a regular case of nus, of course she can return to her first husband. So we have to ask, Mani, who is this Braisa according to? Elay Mirav Shimon, if you're going to say it's according to Rav Shimon, then I'll be based in Miboya Get, then even if it was, I'll be based in, even if it was only one A, she also wouldn't need a Get. Vahatanya, what we learn about Rav Shimon, I'm also based in Bahura Asan, Kizdoin Ish B'Isha, also based in Bahura Asan, Kizdoin Ish B'Isha, when based in gives permission for a woman to remarry, we consider it as the equivalent of when a man and woman deliberately are mizana. Meaning, when Beis Din has to give her permission, when there was only one aid, and the first half of our Mishnah, and Beis Din had to give her permission to get married, we treat that, if it turns out that her first husband is alive after all, we treat that as the equivalent of her having deliberately been mizana. Where then we apply all the penalties of our Mishnah, including that she can't return to her husband because she's also to him. On the other hand, he continues, I'll be Adim, but if she was allowed to remarry based on two Adim, then we consider it Kishigigat Ishvisha. Then we consider it like the case of where a man and a woman were Mizana Bishagim, where then she is allowed to stay with her husband unless he's a Kayim. So what do we see from that? We see that according to Reb Shimon, in either case, she shouldn't need a get. Because even it sounds, according to Reb Shimon's rule, it sounds like we're saying, even if Beis Din gave her permission, yes, we're going to penalize her and prevent her from returning to her first husband, but we're going to consider it, because Dain Ish V'Isha, we're going to consider it like a case where a man and woman were deliberately mizana. She doesn't need a get in that case. So obviously, the first braisa that we quoted that says that implies that she needs a get, that implies that the difference between Eidechor and Beis Edim, as far as a get, can't be according to Reb Shimon. El Olav Rabbanan. Presumably, that braisa is according to the Rabbanan. And we see that if there were two Edim, even the Rabbanan agree that she doesn't need a get. So what are you telling me? The halacha is like Reb Shimon, the cloud of pligi, implying that there's a machlokas between the Chachamim and Reb Shimon. The way we just understood the first braisa, it seems that even the Chachamim agree that in the case of two Edim, she doesn't need a get. The answer is no, the first braisa really could, after all, be according to Reb Shimon. Well, tzritzachi, because you can understand that braisa as follows. Reb Shimon, the second braisa, rather. When Reb Shimon's rule, when he makes a difference between the haras based in or not, meaning one aid versus two aidim, what he means is like this. Reb Shimon, also based in Bahura Asan, to kavonas ish v'isha, we treat when Beis Din gave them permission to marry, meaning when there was one aid, we consider it like a deliberate relationship between a man and a woman. Meaning we don't mean like we thought before that it means like deliberate znus. We consider it like a deliberate via l'shem kedushin, where then obviously need a get. Ubaya get. Whereas Alpi Edim, whereas if she had two Edim and therefore she went and remarried, we consider that Kishaloi B'Kavonas Ish V'Isha. We consider it like a case where man and woman have relations not for the sake of Kedushin, and therefore V'Loi Boya Get, therefore she doesn't need a get. So it comes out, in other words, that the first Braisa, when the first Braisa is distinguishing distinguishing shenissus al pi beis din and saying that she needs a get. That would be according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon himself would be distinguishing and saying the second b'raisa means not that Reb Shimon is saying that it's not that Reb Shimon is saying, as we thought before, that the difference is that with one aid we consider it like deliberate znus, and with two aid we consider it like znus v'shogeg. No, it's not a matter of znus. It's when there's one aid we consider it as if they had done kiddushin, therefore she requires a get. And when there are two aidim, we consider it as if it was bi'ah shaloi l'shem kiddushin, just stam bi'ilas penuria, which does not require a get. So therefore, the first braisa that applies, that there's a difference between those two cases, whether you need a get or not, is according to Reb Shimon. We don't know from that what the chachamim hold. So there's no reason to think necessarily that the chachamim disagree with Reb Shimon. Or we don't really have a proof one way or the other. We could say that the Chachamim disagree with Reb Shimon. We could say not. We don't have anything to prove one way or the other. Rav Ashi says, I have a second explanation. When Reb Shimon says this rule about one aid versus two aidim, what we consider it like, he means as far as whether she becomes also to her husband. Not a question of whether she requires a get, but does she become also to her husband or not? Also based in Baruch Asim Kizdon Ish V'Isha, when Beis Din gives her permission based on one aid to remarry, we consider it and then her husband shows up. We consider it the equivalent of a man and woman deliberately being mezaneh when she's married. Umitzer al baila, and therefore she becomes also to her husband. But not a question of whether she needs a get or not from the second one. We're not getting into that. We're getting into whether she becomes also to him. Alpi Edim, whereas if it was based on two Edim, we consider it Kishigas Ishvisha, then we consider it as if it was the equivalent of Bashayin. Vole Mitzvah Abayla, she does not become also to her husband. So again, not really discussing the issue of whether a get is needed or not. And Tosfos discusses that there is the issue that Reb Shimon might argue that you don't have to penalize her by requiring her to accept a get. Whereas the Rabbanan would say that you do, but not necessarily is the connection, like we were thinking before, that there's a connection, wherever you have to receive a get, then she's also to the first husband, wherever not, then not. Now we're saying those two things don't necessarily have to do with each other. So again, therefore, no proof about that the first Braisa would represent the opinion of the Chachamim. It could still be the opinion of Reb Shimon also, because even he would make that distinction between whether she's also or not in the case of one aid or two. And again, you don't really have proof what the Rabbanan would hold. Ravina, Amalin and Korban Katani. Ravina says a third possibility. Reb Shimon's rule is talking about whether she's chayav a Korban or not. Namely, the Braisa would mean, also based in Bauda Asan, Kizdon Ish B'Isha, that if based in gives her permission, based on one aid, to remarry, and she does, then that's considered the equivalent of as if they had done it b'mezid. Meaning the one master carbon, that she doesn't bring a carbon. Because there's a rule like this, which we're gonna discuss soon in more detail. If based in gives a psak, that something is mutter, and people go and follow that psak. If it turns out later that Beis Din was mistaken, the Yechidim who acted according to the Beis Din do not have to bring a carbon. Do not have to bring a carbon chappas. If it was most of the tzibur that followed them, then you bring the par helam davar shal tzibur. But the yachid sha'asa b'aras Beis Din is potter. So in this case, what we do is, what we're saying is, and what we say is if Beis Din gave them permission, they weren't permitted. They were acting because Beis Din permitted them. But the same way as when a person acts with mazid, he's potter from a carbon, because with most Averis, you only bring a carbon for shagig. Similarly, if they did it based on Hadras Beis Din, they also don't bring a carbon. The reason is different. It's not the same reason. One is based on the fact that it's mazid, one has to do with the fact that it's Afi Beis Din. But either way, the outcome is the same thing. You're not bringing a carbon. Whereas Alpi Edim, whereas if it was based on two Edim, then and Beis Din didn't have to give you permission, you did it on your own, then it's considered kashigas ishvisha, then it's the equivalent of doing it for shoygig, or master carbon, and then she has to bring a carbon. So again, that would be so again, that doesn't tell us anything about what Reb Shimon or the Rabbanan would say about when she's also to return to her husband and when not. The Ibarisema, or yet another possibility. All this time, all these three answers that we gave are all assuming that the first Braisa that we set with, the first Braisa that distinguished between one aid and two aid and when she needs a get or when she doesn't. We assumed up until now that that first Braisa is according to Reb Shimon, and we explained the second Braisa in various ways. The Ibarisema, another way of looking at Hokamaisa Rabbanani, that the first Braisa about needing a get versus not needing a get is actually according to the Rabbanan. Or Tzritzachi, because you could explain the Braisa as follows. We thought the Braisa was talking about one case, Chutz Me'eshes Ish Shen Nises Api Beis Din, except for an Eshes Ish, who was remarried based on permission from Beis Din, meaning based on one aid. Explain it differently. Put an above in there. Chutz Me'eshes Ish Vishen Nises Api Beis Din, except for an Eshes Ish, meaning where there were two Eidim, or she was married Api Beis Din, Be'ed Echad. In either of those cases, then the Rabbanon would say she needs a get. And therefore, we're back to the assumption that needing a get from the second husband automatically means she's also to the first husband for the reason that we said before. So therefore, you could say that that first braisa goes according to the Rabbanan, but then we have Reb Shimon in our Mishnah who says that with two edim she's allowed to return to her husband. So there you go. That would prove that there's machlokes Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, and therefore Rav would be right in saying, in having to say halacha to Reb Shimon, implying that there is a machlokes, because it would turn out that there is indeed one. Now, we mentioned before, we said that Reb Sheshes had brought up the argument that when there are two edim, we should say, my havelol amevet. We should say, what could she have done different? The fact is, there were two aids, and what could have you expected her to do different that you would say that she might be also to her first husband, and you need Reb Shimon to tell us that now. So, revisiting this idea, Masigula, me and Munin and my have all the meva. Do we bechlal hold of the svara that we say what could she have done? We find that we're gonna bring a bunch of different cases in Gittin where we see that a get is possible in one way or another. And we say that if she went and got married based on one of these possible gittin, then we apply all of the chumras, all of the penalties of our Mishnah. And we don't say my have a lot of merit. We don't say she couldn't have known better. We don't say the average person isn't familiar with the details of a get. So v'hotnan, we learn in a Mishnah in gittin, kasa l'shem malchus she'ena hagenes. If you write the date. A get, you're supposed to write a date in a get. We learned briefly before in the Masechta the reason for it. Mishum basachoisai, and when we get to it in Gittin in another year or so, Bez Hashem, we'll learn in more detail. The Chachamim made a takana that a get has to have a date in it because you don't want to have a situation where if the get doesn't have a date in it, what's going to happen? The guy may really love his wife. Let's say, for example, she's basachoisai, she's his niece. She's mezana while they're married. He wants to save her from Mrs. Beis Din. So he pulls out a get and he says, you know what, I gave this to her a while back before this nus ever happened and therefore she wasn't an Eishes Ish. Like this, by having to have a date on a get. You can't do that. Let's say, for example, okay, so, no, so the point is, for example, Edim come and say that she was Mizana in Cheshvan. So the husband pulls out a get and claims, you know what, I actually divorced her in Tishrei. So in Cheshvan, she wasn't an Eishes Ish anymore. Now the Chachamim, therefore, made a takana. You have to write a date on a get. Therefore, the get will clearly be dated in Kislev or Tevis or what have you. And then we'll know that she was an Eishes Ish at the time and we can do what needs to be done. Yeah. Now, so the Mishnah described over there that the get is supposed to be dated according to the government under which you live. And the Gemara explains over there, it's a matter of Shalom Malchus. It's a matter of keeping peaceful relations with the government. When the government sees that you consider them important enough to date your legal documents, your gittin, according to them, then it shows that you're giving them cover. Nowadays, we don't do that. Nowadays, we always write the date to leave Tzira, since creation. And Mefarshim explained basically the reason is because governments nowadays don't care about that kind of thing. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, Kosev l'shem malchus she'ena hagenes. If a person writes the date in the get based on an illegitimate government, and what do we mean an illegitimate government? The Gemara explains over there, we mean the Romans. The Romans are considered not really illegitimate, but like an unworthy government. The Gemara explains over there because the Romans, Rashi quotes it over here, ain lahem like savla loshen. The Romans have no script or language of their own. the script they borrowed from other people, from the Etruscans who got it from the Greeks or whatever, and their language also I guess the Gemara assumes they got from some other people. Actually, there's various other explanations. Tosafos Shanim over here says that the meaning of it is that the Romans don't have a Malchus speak a language like most other, like you, for example, you know, you hear in the old days in Russia the ruling nobility over there used to speak French. It used to be a very common thing in governments, in monarchies, that the common people spoke one language, and the kings and princes, whatnot, spoke a different language. But in Rome, the royal language, right. But in Rome, they didn't have that. So therefore, the Gemara considers them an unruly people.
Well,
that's Malchus Shanei.
All the thing, Rome, then,
yeah.
When they call them Phoenician, they have a...
Phoenician?
Phoenician.
Yeah. Anyway.
Petitioners.
Or Lashum Malchus Madai, or a person wrote in the Get according to the kingdom of Madai, and we're talking obviously where the Get is not written in Madai, it's written in a different country. Lashum Malchus Yavon, or according to the Greek government, or Lavinian Abayas, Lachorin Abayas, or according to the years since the Beis Hamikdash was built or destroyed. Or Hayav Mizrach Lachasav Mayrav Lachasav Mizrach, if you were in a city in the east and you wrote instead the name of a city in the west, or vice versa. Takes him and she assumed that it was a valid get and went and got remarried based on it. Takes him Izer Mizer, she has to leave both husbands. She becomes also to her first husband and also to the second one. And all the things we mentioned in our Mishnah, all the penalties of our Mishnah apply to her. Now the question is, Vamai. You're telling me, Rav Sheshes, that we say Mai Havalala Meva, but what could she have done? How could she have done better in this case? Lema Mai Havalala Meva. Why don't you say the same thing over here? She can't possibly. Lachora, how could she realize that there's something wrong with this get? And the answer is yes. She should have had the get read over by a local dayan, by a local basin, to make sure that there's none of these problems with it. If she didn't, then yes, there's no Mai Havalala Meva. She could have done something. She may not be able to read the get herself, but she could have had an expert read it and then tell her, hey, you know what, there's something the matter here.
A
get obviously has Adam signed in it, but still, she could have, before she rushes off to get married based on it, she could have taken it to her local based in and had them check it out and make sure everything's okay. Maybe, maybe not. You know.
Make a difference with the heart. Husband wanted to trick her or not? Or
doesn't matter. I mean, usually it's not the husband usually who writes the get anyway. It's a cipher. It's usually a professional scribe. But Amr of Shimi Ba Shimi Toshma. Come, let's bring another proof from that from the Mishnayos over there in Gittin. Hakonis has Yevimto. If somebody marries his Yevama, Vaholchot Tzaros of Anisis, and then her Tzara goes and gets married, because we learned back at the beginning of the Masechta once one wife gets married by Yibum, then all the tzaras are potter. They can go marry whoever they want. But the nimtzes zu ailonis, and then it turns out that the first wife who did Yibum was an ailonis, which we learned already, an ailonis is not shayach to Yibum. Then takes him izeh umizeh, and the tzara has to leave both husbands, meaning she becomes also to the Yavam, and she's also to the guy Minashuk that she married. And all the things, all the penalties of our Mishnah apply to her. And Rashi, by the way, points out that this would only be according to Rabbi Akiva, because when you get down to it, when she marries Lashuk, when this woman thinks that she's potter and then goes and marries whoever she wants, and it turns out really that she had a chiyuv yibum, she's over on the Isser, lo siya eishas hameis achutzal leishzer. But that's only a lav, it's not a chiyuv karis or anything. But Rabbi Akiva, we learned a few times already, holds that chayvei lavin are like chayvei kusis. Kedushin or Tofus, and the children of Amzadim, etc. So that's or this Mishnah that we're quoting over here would be according to that. Again, the question is, by my name, am I Havalala Mevet? Again, why don't we say that? What could she have done? How could she have known that her tzara is going to turn out to be an Ilonis? And again, the answer is, Yibayil Olam Tuni. Yes, but she could have waited until to make sure, in fact, that her tzara is not an Ilonis. Wait till her tzara actually, having done Yibum, till her tzara actually gives birth, or until we know for sure that she hasn't developed simonim of an ailonis, whatever. Yeah. You could wait till she has a child. I mean, most women are able to have children, and then you know. Yeah. Okay. Amar Abaye Toshma, Kol come. Let's bring another proof from the Mishnah from the Shnayis there in Gittin. Kol arayas sh'omru potus tzoritzein. How about all the cases that we learned at the beginning of Ramasechta of all the arayas with a tzoritz apotter? We had, for example, the case where a man is married to his niece as well as to another woman, where we said therefore that when he dies, his brother does not have to, his niece is potter from chalitza or yibum because the surviving brother is her father, and therefore the tzara is also potter. So suppose that Sarah then goes and gets married, and it turns out that the relative, it turns out that the erva was an Ilonis, which again, therefore, she's not shayach to Yibum at all, so therefore the patur of Tzara's erva doesn't apply. This is, we learned in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, that if the woman who was a relative turns out to be an Ilonis, so the case over here, for example, Bitoi, normally we say Shimon was married to Sarah, then Shimon dies, we say that Reuven is potter from Chalitza, that both Sarah and Rivka are potter from Chalitza and Yibum, Sarah because she's Reuven's daughter and Rivka because she's her Sarah. But if Sarah turns out to be an Ilonis, the Mishnah said, then that doesn't apply, because we put Sarah completely out of the picture then, because she's not Shaykh to Yibum at all. Then Rivka needs Yibum. So in our case over here, Rivka had gone and married somebody else, assuming that Sarah she's potter because of Sarah. Turns out Sarah's an Ilonis. Taisim is there, Mizeb, and again she has to leave her she's also to the original Yavam, and she's also to her new husband, V'chol Adrachim Eilava, and all the penalties of our Mishnah apply to her. V'amai, again, you can ask, name of my Havel Olameva. You can ask, what could she have done? That how could she have known better? How can we penalize her? And again, the answer is, Yibay Lolam Tumi. Still, even in that case, she could have waited to make sure that her tzara is not an Ilonis. So it's similar to the previous case, but the difference is in the previous case, both women originally had a zika. Then one of them did yibum, and then one of them did yibum, and so she thought she's potter. Here we have even she thought there's no zika in the first place because she figured her tzara is an error. And yet we say that ibar lalam tune, that she should have waited. So far, in other words, going through these, the point is we're trying to prove that you don't say this my havel olameva, that we see from all these mishnayos that you don't apply that, and we say in each of those cases, no, it's not my havel olameva. In each of these cases, she did have something she could have done. So there, but maybe you could say take in a place where she couldn't have done anything else, namely our Mishnah, where two Adim came, and two Adim is the best proof you could have. Maybe you should allow her to. So we're still in the middle of the discussion, but that's
not all the chumras.
She shouldn't have all the chumras, exactly, and she should be able to return to her husband, right? yeah. Amar Rava, Tashma, Kostav Sofer Get Leish B'Shoyver Leisha. Suppose that the Sofer wrote the get for the husband, to give to the husband, which then he'll give to the wife, the Shoyver Leisha, and he also wrote a receipt for the woman, which she will give to her husband once he pays her Ksuba. And then the sofer got the two documents mixed up and gave the get to the woman and the receipt to the man. And then each of them gave their respective documents to each other. Later on, they both open up the documents, and then surprise, the husband is the one holding the get, which means it's possible. It was never given from the husband to the wife. It was given from the sofer to the wife, and that's no good. And then she gave it to him, which is also no good. And it turns out she has the receipt, so she never received a get at all. And again, she had assumed that she had because she hadn't opened it up to check. And we say, she's also to both men. And all the penalties of our mission are applied to her. Again, again, you could argue what could she have done different. And the answer is, again, she could have read the get or had somebody read it to her. And then we'll find out, you know what, it's not a get, it's a shoiver. Don't get married until we straighten this out. The fact that she didn't is considered, we don't say, my have a little merved, therefore we can apply all the penalties of our Mishnah. Amarabashi, Toshma. Shina Shma Yushma, the Mishnah says over there, that if in the get, if they changed his name or her name, and we don't mean, by the way, what changed, Tosus explains over here based on the Gemara there, changed their name doesn't mean, for example, that his name was Avraham and they wrote Yitzchak. Obviously, that would be possible. We're talking about, let's say the guy is called Avraham here in New York, and in California they call him Abe. So they wrote that, so they wrote the get in New York and they wrote Abe. So if they made that kind of change, Shem Ira v'Shem Ira, or they changed the name of the city, same kind of idea. You have different cities that have different names in different places. So you wrote a name by which the city is known in one place when really you should have written the name by which it's known right there. And she's also to both of them, if she remarried, and all the penalties of our Mishnah apply to her. Again, why don't we say that what could she have done? Again, how could she know? And here you have, it's a very subtle mistake. The man is known as Abe someplace else. How should she realize that that's a problem if you write it? If you write it in New York where nobody calls him that. Nevertheless, still, the answer is that she could have had the get read by Beis Din, and they would ask her, you know what, is your husband actually called Abe around here? No? Well, then let's arrange to get a new get written before you go off and get remarried. Omer Avina, Toshma, here's another one. The Mishnah says, "Comes of the get pereach, if somebody remarried her based on a bold get." Now, a bold get is like this. The Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara in the last Perek of Bava Basra describe something called the get mekusher. A normal get is the kind that we're familiar with. It's written as one long sheet of paper or parchment or whatever. You have 12 lines or whatever, and the agent sign at the bottom. There developed a problem at one point. We know the Gemara mentions this, and we know that stereotype exists even nowadays, that Kohanim are very hot-tempered. They're angry very easily. But if a Kohen divorces his wife, we know he's not allowed to remarry her, unlike Israel. So there was a problem developing that there were Kohenim who were getting angry at their wives and rushing off to get a get written, and then they wake up the next morning, and then they're stuck.
I know, because I saw that a few years ago.
Yeah. So because of that, the Chachamim came up with a takana called get mekusher. That you have a get mekusher literally means a tied get. What you do is you write the get, you write a line of the get, then you fold the paper, you make a pleat in it. Then you write another get, make another pleat, etc. You write it. The whole thing ends up looking like an accordion. You write line by line, or a couple of lines at a time, and then you leave a space and you fold it over and sew it together. Yeah, sort of like a paper. Exactly. And the idea is, and also you need three edim on it instead of two. And the idea is, although you need three edim, and what's important for our Gemara over here is each of those pleats has to have an aid written, has to have an aid signed on the back of it. So if the paper has three pleats in it, which is the usual way of doing it, then on the back of each pleat you have one aid signed. So that when you untie the thing, afterwards the whole thing is sewn together so that you can read it as one continuous thing. When you cut the ribbon that's sewn together with, then you can see you have a line of the get and a signature, a line of the get and a signature, and so forth. Yeah, that's the idea, exactly. It takes a long time to prepare such a get. Meanwhile, the husband will have enough time to cool off. Yeah. So this is called get mekusher. So each of those pleats is supposed to have one aid signed on it. If one of the pleats is missing an aid, that's what's called get kereach. It's called a bold get, because like there's a bold spot in it. And midrabanan, that's puzzle. So comes up a get kereach. So if somebody marries a woman who was divorced using a get kereach, then same thing, she's also to her first husband as well as to her second husband, and all the penalties of our Mishnah apply. And again, you would ask, "My have a little mevet?" And again, the answer is, again, she should have shown the get to her local rabbanim, and they would have told her there's a problem over here. Okay, so far then, with all of these proofs, we seem to have proven then that in each of these cases, there would have been something that she could have done different. But in a case where we can't expect her to have done anything different, namely the case of our Mishnah, where two Edim came, and there's nothing greater than two Edim, you would think maybe she should be mutter to return to her first husband, and we shouldn't apply any of the penalties. So the Gemara says, "Your papa saved a mevet uvda, but I have a little mevet." So the papa one time thought to Paskin on that basis. There was a woman who two Edim had come and said her husband had died. She remarried. Later on, her husband showed up. Rav Papa thought, based on this whole discussion over here, we should paskin my havelol mevet, like Rav Sheshes and Svara, what could she have done different? Yes, she should be mutter to return to her first husband. Amalei Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, the Rav Papa, so Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua tells him, "Valtanya kol hani masni haisa." What about all these Mishnayos that we just quoted? Amalei, so he says, so what? Well, Avshaminu, we found an answer for each of them. We found in each case. We said she could have shown it to Beis Din and done something different, or waited to make sure that the tzara is not an eilonus or whatever. Amalei, so Rav Huna tells it, Rav Huna Breda of Isher tells it, Vashinui Leikum Lismach. You want to rely on such a deichim. The fact that we had six different cases like that, and each one we have to infer in such a roundabout way that she could have had Beis Din read it, or she could have waited 20 years to make sure that her tzara is not an eilonus, whatever. These are very far fetched answers. It seems much more straightforward to say that you don't apply this my havel mevet business. Yes, you could argue in one or more of these cases my havel mevet. What could she have done differently? Nevertheless, we still say that the rules are rules. So therefore, in your case also, yes, there were two Egim, still, rules are rules. Upasak, and sure enough, Rapapa held back and did not paskin to allow her to return to her first husband. Now, Amar Rav Ashi, ulakol aleichashinen. All of this is only talking about, all of this that we've been talking about is only if the husband actually showed up. But if we only hear rumors, if she remarried, based on one aid or based on two aiding, and now we hear rumors that her husband's still alive, then that's not enough. That's not enough to ask her. We're not worried about it. Until he actually shows up in person, then we don't worry about it. Question is, hey Kola, what kind of coil are we talking about? What kind of rumor? When did it happen? Elay Makola the Bossa Nisuin, are we talking about that after she remarried, then rumors start circulating that her husband's still alive? We don't need Rav Ashi to be telling us that. Ha'amar Rav Ashi Chada Zimna. We know Rav Ashi already told us that previously. Da'amar Rav Ashi, Kol Kola the Bossa Nisuin Leichashinen. Any case of a coil after a woman is married, we're not worried about. Which means not only a case like we're talking about where there's a coil that her first husband's still alive. Rashi gives an example, a kohen marries a woman, and then a kohen starts circulating that she's a grusha. Since she's already married, we ignore that. So what does he need to say in our case over here? The answer is, but in our case, the fact is she did have to come to Beis Din to get a heter, to call it the common Yisurin dummy. Therefore, we might think that, after all, it means that we, based in themselves, obviously had a certain suffix. But she herself also had a certain suffix. Maybe my husband is alive, after all. That's why she felt the need to come to based in the first place. Kakola de Kamen Yisurin dummy, so we should think of it as the equivalent of a coil that happened before the Nisurin, because already before the Nisurin, she already had reason to suspect that he's still alive. The titzar, and she should become also to her husband. Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush that we don't say that. Then the Mishnah said, Nisa Safi Beis Din Teitzeh, v'cholo, that if she was married al pi Beis Din, again meaning based on one aid. Then the Mishnah said that Teitzeh, that she has to divorce her, she has to leave her second husband, but we said she's potter from a korban. Whereas if it was Shaloy Alpi based in, then she also has to get divorced, but she's chayim on the carbon. Because as we said before, there's a difference whether there was heard off based in or not. So now the Gemara is going to be taking up that issue. When we consider it a heard off based in and when not. Omaziri, lesser lamasnissin viditani be medrasha. We ignore what our Mishnah says because it's contradicted by a braisa that was taught in the Beis Medrash. Viditani be medrasha. Holo based in Cheshakachama. Suppose that based in gives a psak on Shabbos afternoon that the sun has already set, meaning Shabbos is over, and therefore the people can go do malacha. All the soif zocha, and in the end it turned out the sun had not set yet. They see it's still shining. And the hora elatos. We don't consider it a hora, which we said before that if a yachid acts based on hora based in, then he's part of a korban chatas. In this case, we don't consider it a hora. We consider it a tos. Hara means when based in paskin, based on their understanding of halacha. So, for example, you have a certain kind of chelev, let's say, or dam, or whatever, that based in paskin is allowed, not based on that they thought that it's they thought that it's a different kind of fat, but they knew what kind of chelev it is, but they understood based on a pasuk or whatever, based on a drasha from pasuk, that this kind of fat is mutter. Or in the case of Shabbos, for example, a hara would be, we know that up until 5 o'clock in the afternoon is Shabbos, but we're passing that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon you're allowed to do such and such because it's not considered a malacha. That would be a hara. our case over here, where they thought the sun had set, and really it hadn't yet, it's not a law. It's a mistake. It's a mistake in the facts. So you can't say, therefore, that's considered, that the people who acted based on that are acting based on her loss based. So in our Mishnah, if Beis Din allows her to, if Beis Din allows her to get married, and we're saying she should be pulled from a korban because she acted based on her Ros Beis Din. But since her husband's alive, well, it turns out that's not our Ros, it's a Tos. So she should be chayv in a korban. Because obviously it was b'shogeg, but she should be chayv in a korban because you can't say that it's sha'asa by her Ros Beis Din. You can't say she acted based on her Ros because that's not considered a her Ros. Rav Nachman Amar Rahi, whereas Rav Nachman says no, this psak of Beis Din would be considered a Hurrah. So in the case of the sun setting, and also in the case of our Mishnah, Amar Rav Nachman Teda de Hurrahi. In fact, I can prove to you that this case of our Mishnah is considered a Hurrah when they paskin that she's allowed to be married based on one aid. Because we see that in general, throughout the Torah, we never believe one aid. Whereas over here, we do believe one aid who comes and says that a woman's husband is dead. Why? Obviously because it's a harah. So the same way as, for example, as far as chaylev, they thought that a certain kind of chaylev is mutter based on their analysis of the psukim or whatever, or based on their analysis of the halacha. The same way, meaning that they're relying based on their own das. They figured out with their das that this kind of chaylev is mutter. The same way here, they figured out with their das that usually isha daiko mitzvah, that usually we can rely on one aid because she's not going to rush into another marriage without checking it out thoroughly. So in this case, it was a toast of harah. But on the other hand, Rava says teda de tosu. On the other hand, I can prove to you that the case of our Mishnah is considered a tos. Imagine the following case. Beis Din paskin about a certain kind of chaylev or a certain kind of blood that it's mutter. Then they think it over and they realize, you know what, this reasoning that we were thinking of, this halachic reasoning is wrong. After all, this chaylev or this dam is also. Now, if now they say, you know what, forget about what we said yesterday. We thought it over and we decided it is mutter based on our original svara. We're not going to pay attention to them. We're going to say that original svara was slugged up. You yourself decided that it's no good. On the other hand, in our case, if one aid originally comes and says that her husband is dead, then we accept it and we matter her. Also, Trey Asana, then if two Adim show up and say, no, he's still alive, then we ask her. But if another aid comes and says that he's dead, then we do allow her. We don't say that we already disproved the original Adus, and therefore we can't listen to it now, unlike the case of Chaylev. And Rashi explains over here, well, Mephoshim explained Rashi to be saying that we're talking about over here, it's not that the second aid comes and says that the same period of time that the first aid was giving Adris on, he was already dead. No, the second aid is coming and saying, when the first aid said he was dead, he wasn't yet dead. But I'm giving Adris that a week later, he was dead. And yet we accept it.
So he's not
being machish. That's the thing. It's a new aedus. It's a new aedus. No, because the difference is if he was coming back and saying that the first aid is correct, that a week ago he was dead already, then of course it would be tre lahadi tre. It would be two against two. Of course, there's no. Of course, we would say that then there's no chiddush whether we accept it or not. The chiddush is even in this case you have. Yeah, in this case, you have only one aide in the end saying that he's dead as of a week ago, and he's contradicting the original aide who said that last week he was still alive, and agreeing with the two aide that also said at that time he was still alive, and yet we accept it. So obviously the difference is, in the case of Chaylev, we'd consider it a matter of Hodah, and in the case of Eidechad over here by Eidus Isha, we'd consider it toast. My time, a lot of Mishum the Torah. So what would be the reason? We would say that the first aid confused us. The first aid misled us to think to believe that he's dead when really he's alive. But after all, we still believe the second aid, which turns out in the end is a matter of Torah also, because in the end it turns out the second aid also misled them because the guy shows up alive. But that's different than the case of Chelev and Dam, where we're saying that once the first Zvara has been schlugged up, we can't reuse it again. And the Gemara says, Va'af Rabbi Eliezer suffered a Torah. So also Rabbi Eliezer holds the matter of the hara of our Mishnah, where they allow her to be remarried based on one aid, is not considered a hara, but rather it's called toos. The Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yikav Adin Esahar, the din pierces the mountain, meaning, in other words, that we have to look carefully, we have to look deeply into the underlying halacha over here. It's not so obvious, but if we look deeply into it, then we realize that she's chayev, v'tavi chata shmeina, and she has to bring a fat chata. So if, not fat specifically, but in other words, like, she has to bring a good quality chata. So it's the Gemara standard expression, which for meaning that somebody is chayev a chata. Now, what do we mean? If you were to say that Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's a toos, meaning therefore that when she remarries based on that, it's not considered yachid shalsa bairos based in, fine, mishabachim asya carbon. Well, then we understand why she has to bring a carbon, because she wasn't acting up here at Ross based in. But if you say that what Beis Din said when they said she's allowed to remarry is considered a hara, am I master carbon? Why should she have to bring a carbon? She was acting by Ross based in. So obviously, if Rabbi Eliezer is saying she has to bring a carbon, that implies that he says that it's a toast rather than a hara. I'm going to ask you, we'll finish one second. Okay, the Gemara asks back. But Dilma Kesavra Rabbi Eliezer Yachad Shasa by Ross based in Chayev. Why? Who says? The Gemara mentions over there in Horius, where it discusses this whole matter of Ross based in, that there's actually a machlokas Tanoim on the subject. Do we say Yachad Shasa by Ross based in his potter, like we've been saying all along, or do we say nevertheless he's still Chayev? You could say Rabbi Eliezer holds according to the opinion that such a person is Chayev, so it doesn't matter whether we consider it Hara or Torah. Either way, she has to bring a carbon. The answer is, in Kain Ma Yikav Adin Esahar. Then what do you need the expression, Yikav Adin Esahar? Like we have to delve deeply into it to realize that she's chayiv. If that's what he holds, there's nothing to delve into. That's just his shita. The fact that he's saying Yikav Adin Esahar means we have to consider, we might have thought this is considered a hara, but no, if you think carefully into it, you'll realize that it's a Torah, and therefore that makes you chayiv.